The happiest person on Monday morning is always Dr. Linda Mental. Appreciate her. It's 9 minutes after the hour, and it is time to bring her onto the program. Good morning, Linda.
Oh, okay. Now we're there. We went away for a while.
We're finally here.
But I'm happy. I know you're being happy.
You're always happy. I'm always on my best behavior when you're on, because you're going to be so happy. So you're always motivating me.
Oh, that's good. Well, I did have some problems this morning with my phone, and apparently they continued to happen just a moment ago. So at least we're talking. That's the good news.
And how was your weekend?
It was a good weekend. It was good. I'm waiting for spring like a lot of people.
Yeah,
we went to warm, and now we're back to cold again. And so I'm kind of like ready to have some
consistency.
Some warm weather.
Let's talk about what tolerance is doing and how it's eroding our beliefs. This is a big deal.
This is, and it was so much so that I thought I'm going to write a blog on this, because there's a real confusion, I think, in our culture of, first of all, what the meaning of tolerance is. And it's interesting, because I work with millennials, medical students, and we actually had a session on this, because we felt like the millennials are so confused in terms of the meaning of tolerance. So part of that confusion is because there has been a redefinition of that term. So if we go back and we look at the way C.S. Lewis talked about tolerance, or any of the earlier writers, the whole idea behind tolerance under the old definition was that somebody would have a difference of opinion of you, or a different belief than you would, and you would respect that person, you would treat that person with kindness, even when they disagreed. So the whole idea of tolerating another person's beliefs. But that didn't mean that you wouldn't stick to your own convictions, which are those fixed and firm beliefs that we all hold dear, that we think are true. What has happened today is that tolerance has been redefined into what some people have called new tolerance, which means that they're saying that everybody's beliefs are all the same. And so your beliefs, your lifestyle, any truth that you might hold that you believe just to be true is all equal. Therefore, if you ever comment on somebody else's truth, supposedly, truth with a small t, then somehow you're bigoted, you're a hater, you're intolerant of that person. So what's happened, Bill, is it's gotten a little bit weird in the conversations, because if you simply hold on to a belief, a real simple belief like Jesus is the only way to God, mm-hmm. if you have that belief and that's your conviction, you believe that, and you put it out there on social media or you start talking to people, it's very likely that someone's going to tell you that you're intolerant, that you're judgmental, that you're somehow this horrible person who's a bigot. And so the conversation has really shut down, not only interpersonally, but especially on college campuses, from what I could see.
Wouldn't that be the goal, though, of the opposition, to just shut people down from confessing and professing what they believe?
Well, I think that's where what has happened is this whole idea of tolerance has been taken so far that it almost becomes this thing, and this is the root of political correctness, I think, where it becomes this thing that people are trying to legislate, or they're trying to control by telling you that you cannot say anything that might offend somebody or might work somebody up. And as a result of that, you can no longer have a civil conversation, civil dialogue with people. And we're seeing that. You know, you put something on Facebook and people defriend you. You say something in a just a social gathering and people get really upset. You know, I remember the story. I don't know if we talked about it. I think I talked about it on my show, about the woman that was on the airplane who got so upset because the man next to her didn't believe in climate control.
All right.
And ask them to move the guy away from her sight because of his difference of beliefs. I mean, that to me is crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's entirely crazy. I was out east about a month ago, and I was driving by, and this church had a sign up that said, "Hate is not welcome here." And I think, well, in an effort to trying to be so tolerant, you're obviously not tolerant of others.
Right.
It does.
Right, and that's the issue. We got to get understanding that you have to hold on to your convictions. You have to, just because it's not popular in the culture, you have to somehow find a way to say, you know what, if I believe in what the Bible says, if I believe in Jesus, then very unpopular things like believing that sex outside of marriage is a sin, is wrong. is going to offend people who hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened is it's more than just offends people. Now people come and attack you for that belief, mm-hmm. and they call you, they're intolerant of your convictions.
Right.
So it's this very crazy dynamic going on that as you try to hold true to your convictions and people call you intolerant, then they're being intolerant of your conviction.
Right. Okay.
And so what happens is we just don't talk anymore. And when I said I've seen this on college campuses, I really see that there's such an effort to not bring up multiple points of view and allow people to really critically think about what do I believe, why do I believe it. And in order to do that, we have to have a lot of opinions that are being expressed and actually debated and talked about in the old way that people used to do when they would sit around in a coffee shop or someplace and debate different people's opinions mm-hmm. without getting upset with each other.
Yeah. Linda, I want to ask you how I can graciously respond and to defend what I believe when somebody comes after me.
Well, I think you simply have to say, you know, what I do is I call out the process. I say, look, what's happening right now is that I'm just trying to tell you what's a conviction in my heart.
Mm.
But in the process of me trying to do that, you're just getting upset with me and mad at me and calling me names. I don't know how we can do any kind of further conversation or dialogue if we do that. Could we agree just to listen to each other and try to tolerate each other's view without becoming so angry and calling each other names? If you don't do that, if you just try to just say something and people, you know, will just get upset with you and call you a name back. We see this all the time in the news. Somebody says something, then somebody name calls and calls them a bigot or a hater or intolerant, and then the dialogue stops.
Yeah.
So okay. you have to call out the process of mm-hmm. what's going on.
Okay. If your blood pressure is going up from this conversation, you want to give and ask Linda a question about all of this, give us a call at 1-877-933-2484. 1-877-933-2484. You can ask Dr. Linda Mintel a question about any of this, and we'll take some calls. It's 16 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with us today. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Dr. Linda Mintel from her weekend show, The Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I was having a conversation with Rebecca, and we were talking about we want to show Christ, and you know we're going to be offensive to people if we're talking about the truth claims of the Scripture, and therefore when we have discussions with people, we always want to be displaying Christ because we don't want to be seeking to offend, although they will be offended. So how do we manage our own emotions going into those conversations?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I was talking with a Christian leader the other day about this, and we were saying, you know, there's a need for boldness among Christians in our culture. We do have to stand firm, and we do have to take positions, especially very important positions when it comes to morality and issues that are important to biblical truth. But, you know, the Scripture talks about that we need to speak the truth in love. And I have to say, Bill, that the church is not, the church in general, I'm just using that as a general statement, but the church in general has not always done this well. And so part of the problem is, historically, we have railed against people. We have not spoken the truth in love. We have been guilty of name-calling on our part and, you know, not treating people with respect who did not believe or think like we did. So part of it is we're correcting ourselves, and we're having to say, okay, know your convictions. And here's part of the issue with the emotion. You have to have an apologetic for your faith. You have to know what you believe and why you believe it, and not just accept something because you saw it on the internet or talk to somebody. Because we have a lot of what's called now emotional reasoning, where just because someone feels something is true, they think it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the issue for the church is that we need to get back in the business of teaching apologetics and understanding, going into the Scripture, why do we believe this? What do we believe? What does the Scripture really say? And then once we get those deep truths inside of us and we understand that this is God's Word, this is what God says, this is what keeps me from getting so emotionally distraught when people say things. You know, I'll just say, you know, I don't make up the rules. I don't determine morality for the human race. I am somebody who believes in Christ. I'm a follower. He has given me his word, and he's given me so many things in that word that helped me understand how to live and how to flourish in this world until I'm out of this world. And so I'm just telling you what I personally believe. And if you can do that and you can speak truth with love, and again, I just think that that has been so missing in the Christian church for so many years. And now we're finding that people are coming back at us and being very rude and mean to us. But we still have to hold that truth and love perspective, because, you know, Matthew 5:44 tells us to bless those who curse us. It doesn't say, you know, lash back at them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to love our enemies. This is not easy to do. And this is where Jesus was saying, you know, it's easy to love the people who are nice to you and love you and agree with you and are maybe believe the same things you do. But the people who don't, how do you approach them? Do you approach them as somebody that I love dearly and that I want to have a relationship with and be able to dialogue with them? Once we do that, it's amazing how willing people are to actually engage in a conversation.
If you're up against emotional reasoning, though, because I love that expression, but if you're up against that, then, you know, people are going to have their convictions, and how do you argue that? Because people want to just say, this is what I believe based on how I feel.
Yeah, I know. And that's what relativism is in our culture. That's,
yeah,
you know, because I feel it to be true. And this is one of the dangers I've seen on college campuses. And I speak to different schools, and I go all over the country and a little bit more in touch with the college age group. And they have been brought up with this idea. And this is why you're seeing such crazy stuff like, well, I can't read, you know, Shakespeare, because there's something that Shakespeare says in this one play that's very offensive to me, and it might trigger me with some,
yeah,
kind of negative feeling. And then, oh my goodness, if I have a negative feeling, what do I do?
Yeah.
And so this whole business of microaggressions, they're called microaggressions, you know, these,
oh, yeah,
these little offenses that we throw at people, it's just what's happening is we're just not getting building resilience. We're not becoming people who can deal with stress and can actually listen to diversity of opinion. Isn't it funny? In an age where all we talk about, it seems like, is diversity, 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 which isn't a bad thing. It could be a good thing, because the kingdom of God is very diverse. But in that same light, then we're trying to legislate the way we all think about stuff so that we're never offending anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a crazy goal. But I think at the root of that,
yeah,
at the root of that, Bill, is that the heart is deceived. It's deceitful. The heart is deceitful. And so what people talk about comes out of their heart.
Yeah.
And you can't control that.
Yeah. Linda, I've got a caller on the line, so let's get that before we run out of time. Joni's calling from Minneapolis. Joni, welcome to the show. You have a question for Linda.
I sure do. With all that you've been talking about, including the Trump election and all the, and the climate change and everything else, I'm beginning to wonder, and I don't know if you feel the same way, if somebody doesn't put a stop to all this, this could eventually, over time, end up in rioting and civil war, and who knows? And I don't want to sound too pessimistical, but on the other hand, it's getting worse and worse as far as I'm able to tell. What do you think?
Well, I think you're raising a good point. I visited, and I think everybody should visit, the Holocaust Museum in D.C. It's just the most moving, and I tell you, you want to see the evil heart of man, that is a place to go and really see what happens. But one of the very scary things that happened in that whole movement of the Third Reich is that people's speech started to be controlled, and books were burned, and people were not, you know, allowed to read and to hear certain things. And people, they tried to legislate, and this is what happens in totalitarian governments, where people try to legislate what you think, what you feel, what you're going to be exposed to. So, yes, if you take it to an extreme, it's very dangerous. It's very important in a society to allow differences of opinions and teach people how to disagree with civility and respect, or we lose our ability to critically think and to make decisions for ourselves. And hopefully we want people to make decisions based on the Word of God. And so if we can boldly, but in a loving way, present the truth of Jesus Christ to people who are so desperate for a way to live that is going to create a flourishing life for them, then we will do the culture a real service. So I don't think we need to be afraid. We just need to be wise and think about how we present ourselves and are we presenting what we have to say in the truth. But Bill was right. The gospel does offend. And there are people, when you say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven and to God, there are people that are just going to be very upset with you and call you an intolerant hater.
Yeah. Joni, thanks so much for the call. And Linda, thank you so much for that answer. You always make me happy on Monday morning, so I appreciate you coming on. And
Well, I'm like dizzy. I'm the happiest place on earth.
I know. Have a great day.
Talk to you again.
Yeah, it's 27 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us today. Bill Arnold here. We'll take a short break and be right back.